And that's 503-231-8032. That's it for Stage and Studio. Thanks to engineer Steve Nasser. You can hear the podcast of the show at stageandstudio.org, kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Till next time, I'm Dimay Roberts. I didn't know, yeah.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 11:30. Coming up next is Art Focus with our host, Andre Middleton. Today's guest is Portland painter Matthew Slim Pickens Abelman, and we'll talk about art and satire. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support of KBOO Community Radio. Not a current member? You can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is also available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Board meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The KBOO Board of Directors meets the fourth Monday of the month, starting at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held. To request notice of board meetings in writing, please email Monica at kboo.org. KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Eco Film Festival, Thursday through Sunday, October 20th through 23rd, at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. The Portland Eco Film Festival is the premier environmental film festival in the United States Pacific Northwest, showing the very best films about nature, the environment, outdoor pursuits, and eco-conscious living. Films that will be shown include Seed, The Untold Story, Silent Running, Saving Jamaica Bay, and many more. Again, that's the Portland Eco Film Festival, Thursday through Sunday, October 20th through 23rd, at the Hollywood Theater, 4122 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The music playing is Intercellular Dub by DJ Mad from Portland label Zam Zam Sounds, and I'm Andre Middleton, and this is Art Focus on KBOO Radio. I'll be hosting Art Focus on Tuesday mornings from 11:30 to noon on a bi-weekly basis, alternating with Joseph Gallivan. Thank you for joining us. Today, my guest is Matthew Slim Pickens Abelman, and we'll be talking about art and satire. But first up, local art news. As Echo Heco comes to a close, Pochas Radicales would like to welcome fellow community members to submit proposals for lectures, workshops, and time-based art around the thought that this is not for you, or Esto no es para ti, an exhibition that will span 2 weekends and will take place at the S1 Gallery in the Hollywood District. They welcome you to interpret this idea on your own way and submit samples and ideas by 11:59 p.m. on October 30th. You can find a link to their Facebook event page on our website. Collaborations and ensembles are welcome. Because Poche's Slaughterhouse was built on a foundation that was created out of necessity, those invited to apply include all underrepresented folks that currently reside in Oregon. We want your voices to be heard, so please do not hesitate to apply. Like I said, you can find the link on their Facebook event page for submission guidelines on the KABU Art Focus show page here at KABU FM. Tonight, Tuesday, October 18th, Line Storm presents, in association with the Artist Repertory Theater, Portland in Play, a story on every street at Artist Repertory Theater. 10 10-minute plays by 10 local playwrights from Forest Park to Forest Road, from the airport to the aerial tram. These plays explore the unique city with humor and heart, with a special exhibit of artworks from the Regional Arts and Culture Council's Visual Chronicle of Portland. These are free stage readings. Donations, however, are accepted for future Line Storm productions. Milagro Teatro presents El Muerto Vagabundo. What is remembered never dies. Now through November 6th, this devised production explores the concept of homeless muertos and was inspired by the obituary of a homeless veteran without friends or family. In this darkly whimsical play, we encounter traditions through ritual, song, and good old-fashioned storytelling in a highly theatrical and metaphorical way. Last up, Molly Aloy is having a reception at for her Ferguson Water Project art project tonight, October 18th at PCC Cascade from 5 to 7 p.m. You can find Molly Aloy and her work on Facebook as well. Well, my guest today is an artist and a satirist. He describes himself as a Portland-based satirical narrative painter who works primarily in acrylic, tackling the concepts of identity, sex, politics, and religion, well, that's a mouthful, in the hilariously volatile American 21st century. Slim, thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Cool. So why don't you please tell our audience a little bit about your background and how you discovered your need to be an artist?
Yeah, well, I've always had, I guess, a talent for drawing. My mom described it to me when I was able to understand. When I was 2 years old, they first gave me some chalk, and I loved it. Drew on the chalkboard like crazy, actually would sleep with the chalk in my hand. They couldn't get it away from me. So I've always had a proclivity for making marks, making images, and pursued it when I was in high school, did pretty well, entered some competitions, and then life caught up with me in my 20s, decided to be absolutely dumb and not pursue art, went into architecture, was a project manager for about 12 years, and just recently I've gotten back into it. It's been about a year. Jumped back into painting, found that the volatile times that we live in politically, it's kind of like there was a need for some satire.
What a year it's been. Goodness. You could not have picked a better time considering your background. So what experience have it shaped and informed your work? I mean, satire is a sticky wicket, you know, and you're finding a space, an avenue. What led you to this?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've always enjoyed humor, for sure, and always dark humor, off-color humor, but things that made you think, you know, definitely something that was intellectual. I've always described my humor as lowbrow intellectual humor. So something that's informed, but definitely slightly crass, but still that element of humor is important, for sure. And so over the years, you know, my father is absolutely the funniest man that I've ever known. He's played incredible jokes on people that have called up, say, telemarketers, saying that he would be glad to accept credit cards because he was just out of prison. His parole officer didn't want him to have one, even though we were just getting up from the table from a casserole.
Right.
But so that's been my influence, my father. Lots of other artists, of course. You know, Eric Jonker has been a big influence. Jacques Fleischmuller, the master of painting, has been one of my major influences. And I just decided it was, you know, time to step in and actually create some images.
Right. Right. So one of, obviously, an image that I'm sure a lot of our audience has seen is Hat Sales Are Up Again, a portrait of Hitler wearing a Make America Great Again campaign hat. I don't think I need to ask you what was the inspiration behind this, but I am anyway, so I can hear from your words. What inspired you to put, you know, acrylic to canvas in this particular configuration?
Oh, my goodness. I just had to. I've definitely always been an anti-fascist, ideologically opposed to any type of bigotry, hate, you know, racism, xenophobia, homophobia. And to see this movement that was gathering this nascent sort of fascism, even like friendly fascism, you know, where they took over, even like the Pepe meme, and like it's just this sort of, I don't know, 12-year-old meme fascism. It was just too obvious. You know, I had to put the two together, and it wasn't necessarily the direct comparison of Trump to Hitler, but it was sort of like a nod from Hitler in the past saying, hey, good job, Trump. I've got your back, you know, it's just like...
I mean, in all fairness, I think if you had painted him looking like Mussolini, I'm not sure how many people would have made the reference. I mean, the reference is really about fascism, not about Hitler or Nazism. I mean, and I think that's an important distinction that we need to draw upon, because I don't think anyone's considering that Trump is a Nazi, but I think there's something clearly fascist about his tone and his rhetoric.
Oh, I agree 100%. Absolutely. Yeah. And of course, the go-to image of Hitler, definitely, like you're saying, is more recognizable than Mussolini, even though he did quote Mussolini on several occasions.
Right. So how do you define satire, and how do you hope that your work is participating in, or may perhaps spurring a conversation?
Yeah, satire for me is definitely taking a recognizable trope, an image, a person, an ideology, and playing with it so that you can work with difficult ideas, painful ideas, maybe dangerous ideas, pick them apart, make it accessible for people, and hopefully end up with a smile on their face and like a thought in their head, you know, wanting to move forward in a positive direction from something that could be potentially tumultuous.
Right.
You know?
I like that. Almost like you're reaching for that aha moment where it kind of thinks and you go, oh, snap, I get it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That would be my goal for sure.
Outstanding. Yeah. Outstanding. So where do you see your work in the spectrum of political commentary? You know, I mean, granted, you know, you can open up any newspaper across the country and see partisan, whether it's progressive or conservative, cartoons that are poking and that are trying to drive a point home. Where do you see your work in that spectrum?
I would definitely be at the underbelly of that. If you pick up a rock, I guess, in that genre. That's me slithering under there. No, I don't know. I mean, it's I'm just now getting some momentum. So I'm still growing as an artist and I guess a philosopher, as a human being, as all human beings are. So I would definitely be on the more accessible end. Very left, personally, I am. But also very empathetic to the human condition in general, and not respective of ideologies at all, you know. So I'd say if you enjoy contrarianism, iconoclastic artwork, then I'm definitely your guy.
Great.
But I also enjoy the craft of painting. So if you like humorously crafted work, you know, and I try and put some good craftsmanship into it, then hopefully you'll enjoy my stuff. Yeah.
Well, one of the reasons why we have you on the show today is because you've got an exhibit coming up soon. Want to tell our audience where you're going to be and what you hope to share with them?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I currently have two shows right now. I have a solo show up at the Union Knot, which is on MLK and Knot in Northeast. And that's Erotic Noises. That does not contain the Hitler painting, but it does contain some poking fun at aging rock stars. My Ugly Children series, which I've just started, some pieces are in there, as well as just some humorous paintings and drawings. It's a wonderful venue by Heidi Snellman and her daughter Natasha. And then I also have a piece in a group show at Flat Black, which is off of 60th and Foster.
And Foster, right, Foster, yeah. Powell area.
Yeah, Rudy and Cara, great folks. The group show contains wonderful artists. There's Borrowed Times. There's NYC Hooker, some amazing controversial artists, and just a fantastic group of people that is ongoing as well until the end of October. And the show Erotic Noises, I will have a closing reception, which I will have show catalogs that are available for people who can't necessarily afford Original artwork,
right.
But I don't have any prints, so this would be a good way to access some of the work, bring it into your home, disturb your neighbors and your visitors.
When's that closing reception going to be taking place?
That's October 29th at 6 p.m.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's out of Flat Black?
No, that closing reception is Erotic Noises.
Union Knot,
correct.
Great. So looking through this print that you have here, this little mini catalog that you have here, I noticed that there is a thread in your work that I think celebrates the grotesque. And I guess, you know, especially within the Ugly Child series. So if you don't mind me asking, what do you think you're either trying to share from within, or what do you think you're reflecting from without?
Yeah, it's interesting because how I typically work is I'll see an image and it catches me, or I'll have a thought and then find an image to match that thought process and continue it on visually. So with the Ugly Children series, I came across a photo of this baby who was cross-eyed. It was adorable. It was hilarious. And at the same time, I thought, oh man, I can't believe I'm kind of laughing at this child. What if this is like a disabled child? And like, I was like, oh, well, that's an interesting idea, you know, because initially when we see something, we have sort of a gut reaction. Even though we're cultural creatures, we have this sort of primordial, like laughter, right? You know, you can't help but laugh sometimes out of fear or, of course, you know, joy. But when you see something that, you know, like a child who maybe is not necessarily culturally considered beautiful,
right,
but still there's something interesting about it, to me, that sort of represented some of the horrible self thoughts that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Self pitying. Oh, you know, does that person like me? Are they really my friend? Am I ever gonna get a girlfriend, boyfriend, / whatever?
Right.
You know? And so these children are very vulnerable, but yet they're still subjected to like a criticism, just because they have bodies like all of us do.
Right.
So then they ended up representing these ideas that sort of guide us away from I guess, progress and getting what we need to get done, but also kind of utilizing laughing at them as well as sort of letting them be okay. So it's kind of a twofold, making fun, but empathizing.
It's interesting you put it that way because when I went to film school, we were taught that the theory and art about around editing or montage is taking two different images and creating a third thought, creating a thought that is separate. And that's what I get from a lot of your work. I'm seeing two, if not opposed, but almost like two layers of two different images. And it's that the combination that I think all of our individual perspectives and experiences find a thought that is unique to us. So, you know, someone else might not get the same reaction to some of your work that I will. And I'm not going to get the same reaction I'm going to get from somebody else. But that's something I love about your work, is that it challenges everybody on a very individual level based upon their personal experiences.
Oh, that's a very complimentary insight. Thank you very much. Yeah, and I feel that that has always kind of been my goal, to definitely put two opposing ideas together in one image. You know, literature also drives my work. So I love words together with imagery. And I like it when the words don't necessarily jive with the image. And I do like the grotesque, like you were talking about, but I love like the cute and the grotesque together. Mm-hmm. And then of course, like you beautifully said, that third idea that comes of that marriage.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm a fan. I'm a fan.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
I guess, you know, so tell us about, so what are you working on next? I mean, I know you've got these two shows up now and they run through how long into?
End of October. So Erotic Noises at Union Knot have a reception on the 29th. And I believe the 30th, you'll have to check with Flat Black. They've got a great website. It is the 30th of October.
Okay. So what about you? What's next for you? What's piquing your interest as this election season hopefully is coming to a close?
Right. Hopefully. The sooner the better. Yeah, I have quite a few things on my plate. I'm going to do a little jab attack at religion and spiritualism. No More Hot Dogs is a series that I'm calling it. It's from Hazel Atkins, horribly, wonderfully of the same title song, No More Hot Dogs, replacing religious iconography, you know, items of religious worship with hot dogs. So a lot of like tent revivals, Pentecostal snake handlers, Bibles, snakes, Hindu gods will all be replaced with hot dogs. And the idea being that hot dogs are a consumer product, comparing them to religion, which the contents of which people will consume without necessarily understanding all of the elements within them, you know. And of course, Americans love hot dogs. So I think it's a great little, you know, jab at Americana and also traditions, unthinking traditions. And then I've also been, curiously enough, interested in elderly pornography, seeing old people in erotic conspiracy. So I'm going to think I'm going to be playing around with this idea of hybrid moments as we get older. You know, how do we approach love and self-identity? That one's, I'm very curious to see what I do with that.
Okay. That makes two of, that makes two of us. So it's interesting when you talked about the hot dog, it made me think about how I saw an article a few weeks ago talking about how, you know, how America as a Christian nation has reached a nadir when you think about how, you know, so many, dare I say, marginalized, oppressed people or others are really starting to take their own spaces. You know, my being Muslim, my being Jewish, my being Pakistani is just as valid as you being, you know, 10th German and, you know, 8th, you know, 8th right. Italian. And it's interesting to think about how I think that your work, I think, celebrates the lack of adulation that I think Christianity is somewhat is slowly edging towards. I mean, you know, unfortunately, I think that a lot of religions around the world have often oppressed other religions only to try and elevate themselves.
Oh, agreed. Yeah.
And I think that, you know, the experiment that is America said, you know, if we treat everybody equally, we're going to get along a lot better. And I think that that never quite took hold the way it was envisioned. And it looks like we're getting there.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I certainly hope that that's the case. And yeah, my whole intent in sort of poking fun at religious sanctity, I guess, would be that, you know, me as an atheist, sometimes even an anti-theist, my whole concept is that, you know, we make our own meaning. You know, it's fine to pick it up if it was here before you, but definitely examine it. Don't be unthinking, and certainly don't slight other people's beliefs. If you have a belief, if you don't have a belief, you know, you should be respectful of people's rights to do as they see fit in this world, make their own way. And yeah, I feel like a lot of, especially evangelical Christianity, it, like we've seen in this debate, has just, you know, been a horribly divisive thing instead of taking from that tradition of Christianity where, you know, Jesus Christ was supposed to be this giver, right, caretaker of, you know, the Son of Man or whatever. They've been using a lot of like the Old Testament sort of like just awful fire and brimstone. I mean, I remember even Mike Pence was saying that condoms were too modern and too liberal. And I just thought, oh my God. Good, what, you know, like, why are you even wearing clothes?
Right.
You know, like, how far are you going to take this, you know? Like, yeah, it's just like, give me a break.
That's a new meme for me right now, a picture of Mike Pence. Why are you even wearing clothes?
Oh, Lord, I shouldn't have mentioned it.
Another thing I love about your work is that it plays on a certain classical style that was once revered and limited to the aristocracy. You know, I mean, portraiture, the level of craft that you put in. In the past, when you look at old work, you know, only the rich, only the pious, only the, you know, the aristocracy could afford to have their images perpetually preserved for time immemorial. And it's lovely that you're saying, you know, I'm going to capture this moment in that same light so people can see behind the curtain.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea. Yeah. Art has always been, because it's not a necessity, we can't eat art, we can't wear, well, I guess you can wear art.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Wow, now I'm thinking. No, yeah, but it's not like water or food, you know. It's, right, it's definitely something that we do to express ourselves as human beings culturally in this world. And yeah, I think art for the little people is fantastic, myself being a little person.
Little person here too.
Yeah. So yeah, it's great. And of course, like, I love to play with ideology, you know, not just making people famous or, you know, exposing people necessarily, but ideas. You know, and how do we as a culture approach ideology in a way that it's inclusive for everybody and have fun with it too. Right. Yeah.
Right. Well, hey, Slim, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
A fascinating conversation. Well, what I've actually got one more question, and this is kind of it's a softball question. What is the question that your work seeks to answer?
How much can we laugh at?
Good. I'll take it. So, once again, I want to thank Slim for coming and joining us on today's Art Focus. I want to thank our engineer Steve and all the KBOOT volunteers and staff that make this program possible. Before I sign off, I want to give a couple of shout-outs just because. Natty Figueroa and Mia O'Connor are my homegirls. These two women are breathing such life and love into the Portland art scene by taking and holding space for people of color through their YGB and Deep Underground events. You can find their events on Facebook. Today also happens to be Mia's birthday, so I wanted to show her some love. Happy birthday, Mia. Once again, to wrap up, Poetry Strata College would like to welcome fellow community members to submit proposals for lectures, workshops, and time-based art around the thought that this isn't for you. Esto no es para it, T. An exhibition that will span two weekends and take place at the S1 Gallery. They welcome you to interpret this idea your own way and submit samples and ideas by 11:59 on October 30th. Find them via the link on our show page or on Facebook. Don't forget that tonight, October 18th, Line Storm Playwrights and Associating with Artist Repertory Theater presents Portland in Play, a story on every street at Artist Repertory Theater. 10 10-minute plays by 10 local playwrights. From Forest Park to Forrester Road, from the airport to the aerial tram, these plays explore our unique city with humor and heart, with a special exhibit of artworks from the Regional Arts and Culture Council's Visual Chronicle of Portland. These are free stage readings, but donations accepted for future Line Storm productions. Milagro Theater presents El Muerto Vagabundo, What is Remembered Never Dies, now through November 6th. Please go check them out. And last up, the Ferguson Water Project by Molly Alloy is having reception tonight at PCC Cascade from 5 to 7. You can find photos, links, as well as all the guest information on our show page. That's at KBOOFM/ArtFocus. Please follow the link to Facebook and like our Facebook page as well. If you missed any part of today's show, there will be a podcast of this entire show online and on iTunes, I recently found. So please go find us on iTunes, give us a review, couple of stars, tell us why you like our show. But once again, you can find an on-demand version of this show on our KBOOT page sometime later today. As always, it's my goal to meet and to introduce the listeners of KBOOT to a broad spectrum of regional artists. If you're a visual artist or a musician, an actor, but any artist in any medium, I'd love to have you or your organization on our show. It's also my goal to share information that is relevant to artists as well. When I learn of residencies, grant deadlines, call for artists, you'll hear about it here on this show, as well as find it on our Facebook page or find it on our website. Thank you for listening to this episode of KBOOT's Art Focus on Portland, Oregon. Take care and peace.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 11:58. Activist and author Ralph Nader will be speaking at two events in Portland this Saturday. He will be talking about his new book, Breaking Through Power, at noon at Powell's City of Books, and he is scheduled to speak on getting the money out of politics at the First Unitarian Church at 1211 South Main Street from 6 to 7 p.m. He will endorse Multnomah County Ballot Measures 26-184 that seeks to remove big money from politics. Your investment in community radio can go on with a planned gift to KBOO. Consider adding KBOO to your will or add KBOO as a beneficiary to your insurance and bank accounts. You can change your mind anytime if your circumstances change, but recognizing KBOO along with your family and friends and your legacy giving is a powerful commitment to media justice. Let us know if you add KBOO to your plans. We'd like to thank you for your considerate future gift. Contact Becky Myers at 503-231-8032 or email development at kboo.org to notify us of your plans. Coming up next is Buscando America.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Voices in Action, Human Rights on Film, a series playing at the Northwest Film Center through November 1st. Tackling wide-ranging, thought-provoking issues, activist filmmakers help deepen our awareness of injustice and the values of dignity and equality as they tell universal stories of struggle and triumph. Works to be shown include the filmed in North Korea Under the Sun, screening on October 12th, and Do Not Resist, an award-winning documentary on police violence in America that screens October 18th. Again, that's Voices in Action, Human Rights on Film at the Northwest Film Center in Witzel Auditorium, 1219 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. More information may be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO at the Clinton is our monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater. This film this month, Incarcerating Us, will play Friday, October 21st at 7 p.m. With 2.3 million people behind bars, the U.S. has the largest prison population in the history of the world. Incarcerating Us tells the story of America's broken criminal justice.